Manx Radio's update.
Ah, Festamai, it's 5.30 and this is Update from Manx Radio. In half an hour, we'll pull together what's been happening today in, on and around the island. Background to that, sport, business, sea watch and travel. This evening, two of our bigger political beasts were at the British-Irish Council. But what did we get out of it? Nicola was there? Leo was there? Did we get to meet them? Howard Quayle and David Ashford will be telling us shortly. Excuse me, I'd like to make a film in the island. Can I have some cash after the £26 million loss? What will be the reaction to that? And is table tennis really good for the island, or is it just topspin? Let's get some news headlines.
Man Benham Advocates, for your legal needs.
Rhiann has those headlines for us. Rhiann.
Emergency services were called to a house fire in Ramsey earlier today. Crews from Ramsey and Laxey attended the blaze at the Crescent Way, which was confined to an oil-fired boiler inside the garage. The occupants were found out of the house by the time the officer in charge arrived at the scene. The Chief Minister says the Isle of Man gets immeasurable value from the British-Irish Council. Howard Quayle was in Dublin today for the meeting, alongside the likes of Irish Taoiseach Leo Varadkar and SNP leader Nicola Sturgeon discussing drug abuse and Brexit. The new air route to Southend London from Ronald's Way has received mixed reviews from the public but been welcomed by government. The flights will be available from March next year. From further afield, Labour and the Tories are being criticised for what the Lib Dems are calling their spending fantasies. The party's pledging £100 million to tackle climate change if they win the general election. Meanwhile, Labour's offering free broadband for all, while the Tories want to help struggling towns. The former US ambassador to Ukraine says she felt very intimidated by Donald Trump tweeting against her as she testified at his impeachment inquiry. Marie Yovanovitch was ousted from her post after coming under fire from the president's personal lawyer. And Nissan is recalling over 450,000 vehicles worldwide because of fire safety concerns. It's the firm's third recall for a problem relating to a brake fluid leak, but most models affected are said to be in the US and Canada. Those are the headlines. I'll have more for you at 6. I'm Rhiann Evans, Manx Radio News.
Oh, we'll look forward to those, Rhiann. Thanks.
Man Benham Advocates. Call us on 639 350 or follow us on Facebook.
Well, the chilliness we've been experiencing continues.
Manx Radio Weather with Manx Glass and Glazing.
Well, remaining dry with moonshine for the rest of the day. Clear spells overnight. Breezy, fresh northeasterly winds. Temperatures up to 8 or possibly 9 during the day tomorrow before falling down. 6 Celsius for most places overnight. Lows 3 over higher ground. Tomorrow, Jisan will be rather cloudy with occasional showery outbreaks of rain developing mainly for the afternoon and overnight into Sunday. Jaduni, largely cloudy on Sunday after some occasional rain or showers at first, gradually clearing during the afternoon, leaving a dry end to the day with some brightness. The sunrise, 7:47. Sunset a few minutes later at 4:20 p.m.
For bespoke tabletop glass cut to measure, visit Manx Glass and Glazing in the Snugborough Trading Estate.
Well, the Chief Minister, Howard Quayle, has been rubbing shoulders with the Irish Taoiseach, Leo Varadkar, and SNP leader, Nicola Sturgeon, at the 33rd British-Irish Council in Dublin. Health and tackling substance abuse, the main topics of discussion at the 20th anniversary meeting. Representatives there from the Channel Islands and from England, Scotland and Wales. Problems facing the British-Irish Council as a whole, such as Brexit, also talked about. Chief Minister Howard Quayle.
The main item on the agenda is health and social initiatives to combat substance misuse, and obviously the benefit of the British-Irish Council is that we're able to share experiences and information and ideas with other jurisdictions. So that was the key topic, why we were there. But obviously, whilst we were there, we're obviously discussing the problems facing all the jurisdictions of the British-Irish Council, and obviously Brexit is a major topic.
Do you think the UK election, do you think we've got the chance maybe to break the deadlock at Westminster, break the deadlock at Stormont, and break the deadlock over Brexit itself?
Well, and also you have to remember that probably next year there will be elections in Ireland too. As I said in the meeting, the Isle of Man is non-partisan, and so it's not for me came to have a view on UK, Irish or indeed international politics. But what I did say to them was that I believe strongly that it's in our neighbours continuing to enjoy stability and prosperity is in all of our best interests.
This is the 33rd British Irish Council and the 20th anniversary as well. How much value do you think we as the island get out of it?
Oh, immeasurable. The contacts that I get as a result of being able to go to this organisation, you should never underestimate. I know when we've been looking at climate change, I'm able to go to, and the teams are able to go to Northern Ireland, Scotland, Wales, Ireland to look at what they're doing for renewable energy, especially. And I was at Dublin Bay yesterday looking at how they've managed to work with their biosphere area, but with also having a commercial port there. So it's access that, it's unprecedented access that really helped strengthen the relationship that we have with Ireland, Northern Ireland, Scotland, England and Wales, so not to be underestimated at all.
And you're with Minister Ashford, the Health Minister, because of obviously the subjects that are under discussion at this particular summit.
That's right. It's quite ironic. 5 years ago, the first BIC I attended was as Health and Social Care Minister in Dublin. And now 5 years later, David Ashford's first British Irish Council is as Health Minister, Health and Social Care. So, yes, he did very well. And I'm sure his department will benefit from him attending this meeting.
Let's hear from Mr. Ashford. Visiting the North East Inner City Initiative in Dublin, amongst other things, he was over there with Howard Quayle. He told Tim Glover about some of the similarities that we here in the island have with other health services across the water.
I think one of the things that's been very common across the jurisdictions is that we need to take a more individualistic approach. So we need to focus more on the individual needs of people rather than trying to put people into boxes and trying to silo them. That's something that's come across all of the jurisdictions as an important point to make.
David Ashford speaking there at the Irish Council meeting that happened across there in Blackpool, because of course Dublin does translate from the Gaelic into Blackpool.
Manx Radio's update is available as a daily podcast. Simply subscribe for free online at manxradio.com or via Apple, Google or Spotify. Sea-Watch with the Isle of Man Steam Packet Company.
I'd imagine it a very pleasant day for a sail today and overnight indeed, and everything's going to time, so it means that the sailing that departed from Heysham is expected down below us, not long, about 10 minutes to 6 o'clock. The departure at 7.45 this evening is due to arrive at Heysham at 11.30. Now looking ahead to the day ahead, Saturday, Heysham departure 2.15 in the morning, Douglas arrival 6 o'clock, with the papers on board, we hope. The departure of the Ben from Douglas at 8 o'clock, Heysham arrival at 11.45, Heysham 2.30, arriving Douglas at 6.15, and finally for Saturday, a departure 7.45 from Douglas, expected arrival at 11.30. And Sunday looks much the same. It looks in good order.
Book now for 2020 at steam-packet.com.
Let's have a look at business now.
Manx Radio's Business Briefing, powered by Y Manx.
And UK and European stocks opened higher. Traders were digesting optimistic sounds out of the White House. This is all obviously the Sino-US agreements, the US and China deals, the trade deals. Asia markets were mostly higher as investors digested recent developments in that area. The dollar and riskier trade-exposed currencies found some support. There are fresh hopes about these trade talks, and that's all reflecting across that region. Oil prices rose as OPEC's outlook for oil demand next year a fueled hopes, that's a fairly ponderous pun, that the producer group and its associates will keep a lid on supply when they meet to discuss policy on output, and that's happening next month in December. Gold prices, well, they fell as risk appetite was whetted by comments from the White House economic advisor Larry Kudlow that the United States is nearing an interim trade pact with China.
The Stock Market Report, brought to you by Ramsey Crookall.
Let's have a look now at the figures.
When it comes to investing for the future and that all-important personal service, look no further than the award-winning team at Ramsey Crookall. Ramsey Crookall is the island's largest firm of stockbrokers and investment managers and have been servicing the investment community with a broad range of services for over 70 years. For that all-important personal touch and financial expertise, contact Ramsey Crookall. Telephone 673 171. Call into Securities House, Athol Street, or visit our website, ramseycrookall.com. Ramsey Crookall are members of the London Stock Exchange and licensed by the Financial Services Authority.
Well, thanks to them, and these are the figures at the close. The Dow Jones 27,781. That's down just a smidgen, 0.01%. The S&P 500 up 0.08%, 3,096. And the Nasdaq down again, but not much, 0.04% at 8,479. The exchange rates, the pound against the US dollar, 1.287. The pound against the euro, 1.168. Commodities, gold, 1,466. That's down 0.2%. Brent oil, 62.48 a barrel. That's up 0.13%.
Isle of Man Water Sports weather.
Well, if you are thinking about going out over the weekend, the weather's a little iffy, but well, let's have a look at it. Cloudy on Saturday, some showery outbreaks of rain developing during the afternoon, remaining largely cloudy on Sunday with a continuing threat of some rain, which will gradually clear during the afternoon. I suppose if you're in the sea, that doesn't really matter, getting wet. Sea temperature 10 degrees Celsius, that appeals, does it? The wind on Saturday, north to northeast 4 or 5, decreasing 3 or 4 during the afternoon. The wave height 1.2 metres. That'll become 0.7 metres in the afternoon, or 0.7 metre. The wave period, 3 to 4 seconds, and the high tide at 1:17 p.m. On Sunday, the wind north or northeast 3 or 4, increasing 4 or 5. The wave height, 0.8 metres, becoming 1 metre. The wave period, 3 to 4 seconds, and the high tide will be at 2 p.m.
For the latest high-tech windows, doors, conservatories, fascias and soffits, visit Manx Glass and Glazing Showroom in Snugborough. Manx Radio's update is available as a daily podcast. Simply subscribe for free online at manxradio.com or via Apple, Google or Spotify.
It means if you actually download it, you can listen to it at your leisure as you're preparing the meal or enjoying your meal this evening. Now, if you're a filmmaker, and filmmaking has been very much in the news lately because of the committee looking into the loss of £26 million from the Media Fund, you used to be able to seek funds from the government to shoot your movie on the Isle of Man. That doesn't happen anymore. Changes were made after the Media Development Fund made that loss of more than £25 million. Timor's Public Accounts Committee are looking into the losses. Today, as part of the process of that investigation, they've already heard from such people as John Shimon, former politician, also Alan Bell, former chief minister. Today, they were hearing from the Department for Enterprise Minister Lawrence Skelly and Chief Executive Mark Lewin. Mr. Lewin explained in the film world in the Isle of Man what the process now is.
A lot of your previous focus has been looking at the past, and you know, we have a legacy of films. You mentioned films in the question. We don't provide support into films. That's not something we do anymore. As the minister said before a number of times, our focus is about long-term sustainable jobs. It's about industries, it's about businesses that are here and making sure they're here for the long term. But equally, I say the Enterprise Development Scheme is available to them, and then the Digital Creation Scheme underneath that was a way of narrowing down and being clearer for if a business in the media space comes to us and is looking for some investment. The investment is into that business, but this is the way that we would look to do that.
Okay, and the Digital Creation Scheme, was that a development of the idea, I think, that was talked about in maybe 2017 of a new digital creative fund? Is that a progression or variation of that?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. And so where does that sits within the Enterprise Development Scheme, or is that a separate?
It's part of the Enterprise Development
right.
Scheme, yeah.
Okay. And in terms of how the department views the landscape of film and media, do you think that the proposition that the island has is a competitive one? And is it something that is, you know, being progressed through the 80s, and how?
Yeah, well, we decided to carve out a subset, as Mark's described there, with regards to the Digital Creation Fund. And that was on the basis that we believe that there was quite a lot of sub-industries within the category of media, shall we say. Film is only one of many, which, of course, we know about the history of that. There were a number of opportunities that were sort of coming through our door, and we decided to have different criteria, different qualification, but it was clear that there were significant opportunities, and how do we support those? But the criteria is still got jobs at the very top there.
That's the Department for Enterprise Minister Lawrence Kelly. We also heard just before him Jane Poole Wilson, who was the chairman of the committee investigating, also from the chief executive from the Department of Enterprise, Mark Lewin, speaking there as well.
Manx Radio Sport.
Just before we go to Chris Cave, I understand the Castle Rushen rugby team have all shaved off their eyebrows to mark their win over King Williams yesterday. The first time Castle Rushen have ever won that match, which they call the big one. Well done, to quote their team song, We Are CR. But it was the invariably high quality of the side they were up against at King Bills that made their victory so memorable. So it has to be said, credit goes to both 15s. Let's catch up with sport. Here's Chris.
Fastamai, good evening. Tom Gandy has made a solid start in his bid for a full European tour card for next season. The Rowney golf professional hit a 2-under par 70 in the opening round of the qualifying school final stage in Spain. He had a bogey-free round with 2 birdies and is tied in 33rd place. Gandy is only 4 back on the leader, with many still in contention for the 25 tour cards on offer. In football, St Mary's welcomed title rival St George's to the bowl this weekend in a huge match at the top of the Canada Life Premier League. The visitors haven't played since a 5-3 defeat to Peel in what was their first loss of the campaign. Mary's, though, are 2 points clear at the top of the table, with the best goal difference in the division, having scored 41 times whilst only conceding 7. A Geordie's victory would see them leapfrog the current top-flight leaders, and they could also end the weekend in pole position should Rushen fail to beat Paul Rose. In hockey, Saracen Sabres conceal the Rossborough Mixed Division 1 title this weekend if they maintain their perfect record. They're up against Ramsey Ravens on Saturday as they aim to make it 9 wins from 9 and secure a place in next year's Premier League. Ravens are up to fourth after a 3-1 win over Bacchus Sea last time out, but are huge underdogs heading into this weekend's clash. The aggregate score from the two matches the sides have contested against each other this term stands at 28-0 in Saracen's favour. Further afield, David Seaman believes home advantage could prove the difference for England at Euro 2020 next summer. Gareth Southgate's side secured their place in the finals with a 7-0 thrashing of Montenegro last night. Wembley will host a number of group games, as well as the semis and the final. That's your sport for now this evening.
Chris Cave. Now, he'll be back after this programme with a full preview of football, rugby, hockey. I would be surprised if he gets a bit of squash in there as well, following the news at 6 p.m. We did have an email about a story which said, your news story about Mark Cavendish can't be right. He's in Ghent at the moment in the 6 day. Not possible to be going at 170 kilometres an hour. That would be 105 miles per hour. Well, for your information, the record on a cycle is 174 miles an hour. And that was set by a Briton called Neil Campbell.
Manx Radio Travel, driven by Auto Solutions.
Oh, in Laxey, first of all, and this is the trees that are falling down all over the place, and they're having to close the road, or were having to close the road to deal with them. They've discovered quite a few. Works to reduce those risks will continue until next month, we're told. A large tree fell and blocked the road earlier this week. An assessment has found more trees are at risk of doing the same. What happens is we've got so much rain that it soaks the earth. The earth gets soft, and of course, the trees' roots can be brought up and fall over the road. It is a problem. There'll be temporary traffic lights in operation between Green's Garage and Art Riot until the 6th of December. That's in the Laxey Ramsey Coast Road. And down the south at Drogheadfale Road in Port Erin, we were told they've encountered issues resulting in a slight delay in reopening all the roads as advertised around that area. So they're going to be reopening the section of Drogheadfale Road linking Erin Way and Drogheadfale Park, thus allowing access to Drogheadfale Park and Athol Park from Erin Way. However, they've extended the closure of the junction of Athol Park and Drogheadfale Road, and the road will remain closed until, at the latest, the 22nd of November. A diversion will still be in place to and from Station Road via Athol Park, Athol Avenue and Strand Road.
Manx Radio Travel, driven by On Tour Solutions
670145. I used to call it ping pong when I was a lad, but it's known as table tennis these days. More than 300 visitors over here last weekend as the 2019 Home Countries International Table Tennis Tournament took place at the National Sports Centre. The biannual competition features seven nations, including England, Scotland, Wales and the Channel Islands. Great efforts for the Isle of Man. As well as those involved, there are also coaches, spectators and political members over here to take in the event. Aaron Michael MHK and Isle of Man Table Tennis Association, he's a mean one with a bat, I'm told. Tim Baker hopes the tournament boosted the island's reputation.
Absolutely, it's all about development. Whatever you do, there's always somebody, you know, better than you, and it's about trying to test yourself against the best. And it's a great opportunity for our players to really experience that. It's pressure, you know, it's in public. We've got some young people playing. We've got, you know, 12, 13 year olds playing. I've got half of the 12 Isle of Man players are from my own club in Ramsey, and it's great for their experience, not just in sport but in life as well, and take them out of the comfort zone and really seeing how they can do against the best and actually seeing what actually is possible.
More than 100 people from different locations have come to compete here in the Home Countries Internationals right here at the NSC. Not only is it a chance for them to go away with an idea of what a great sporting nation we are, but also the great impression of the Isle of Man as a whole.
Absolutely, and I mean obviously their main focus is the table tennis, but the hospitality, the welcome, the facilities and the way the tournament's been organised, these all make a lasting impression about the island. For some of the people, this may be their only experience of ever coming to the island, but it raises our profile and it's great for the economy. I mean, over 300 bed nights out of this event.
Political members from the other jurisdictions here as well. You say you've had great feedback. I suppose it's also a chance for you to forge new relationships or build on existing ones.
Absolutely, it's, you know, these occasions are never wasted, and it's all about getting to know our neighbours better. I mean, you've got obviously Jersey and Guernsey, who we're very well connected with, but you know, Scotland and Ireland as well as England and Wales being here as well. So you know, these are relationships which as an island we need, and you know, a lot of the issues are very common across the different jurisdictions. And it's just great to connect, isn't it, with people and actually to show the Isle of Man at its best.
Yes, Tim Baker, and good stuff for the island. Let's just look across the water now, not very far actually, just to Lancaster. The leader of the Conservatives and still Prime Minister, Boris Johnson, by still I mean he holds that office even through the election campaign, launched his party's battle bus in Lancaster, just across there. Well, tell you, let's find out what he said.
Good afternoon, everybody. Thank you very much for coming. Can you all hear me? Yeah. Can you all? Isn't this a wonderful bus?
Yeah.
It's a wonderful bus. It's a beautiful bus. Well, by the way, we're going to have buses that are a lot greener than this once we finish with our fantastic program to unite and level up across this country. But some of you may be asking, you know, why do we even need a bus like this? Why do we even need an election? And the answer is, you know, it's because Parliament is unfortunately paralyzed. It's like a blocked pipe, or like an anaconda that swallowed a tapir, or like a blocked artery at the heart of the British body politic. It is a dog in the manger Parliament that is refusing to get Brexit done. And we need to get on and get Brexit done. And why do we need to get Brexit done? My friends, why do we need to get Brexit done? We need to get Brexit done. Number one, because we're Democrats, aren't we? Unlike the Liberal Democrats, who are neither Liberal nor Democrat, we need to get Brexit done, because whether you are a Leaver, whether you voted Leave, or whether you voted to remain, I think the majority of people in this country can see that it is time for us as a country to get on and deliver on the will of the people. Don't you agree? Yeah. Let's get it done. So it's a matter of democracy, but it's also about the economic health of our country, because I'm afraid that the delay and the uncertainty is really starting to hold us all back. And there are billions of pounds, tens of billions of pounds, waiting to flood into the UK in inward investment. We already attract huge sums, more than any other country in Europe, but there is a massive opportunity if only we can get Brexit done in the next few weeks. And we can. Yes. We can do it. Yeah. We can do it. And it will be like a, as I think I referred to an arteriosclerosis earlier on or some such metaphor, didn't I? It will be like, can you imagine an angioplasty? I think that's what I'm looking for, the metaphor. It will be something that clears our arteries. It will unblock our system. It will get us back on our feet and able to take advantage of all the things that we want to get from Brexit.
And a good deal more of that sort of thing. Boris Johnson launching the Conservative battle bus in Lancaster. Odds by Betfair have the Conservatives 5-8, 62% probability of an overall majority. Labour 43-1. The Brexit Majority Party 999-1. And a Church of Scotland minister who heckled Jeremy Corbyn, calling him a terrorist sympathiser, has been suspended. Richard Cameron, who challenged the Labour leader during his visit to Glasgow, has previously posted homophobic and anti-Islamic tweets. Quickly, a look at something that's happened very well over the autumn. An enhanced events programme attracted an estimated 3,000 visitors to the island during September and October, contributing about £1,500,000 to the Isle of Man spend. Marvellous stuff. That's update for this Friday evening. Have a wonderful weekend.
Manx Radio's update is available as a daily podcast. Simply subscribe for free online at manxradio.com or via Apple, Google or Spotify.